Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saleh for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
As the morning light pierced the eastern sky over the little village of Bethsaida at the northern end of Galilee, two brothers arose from their pallets, ate a light breakfast, probably bread and fish, and then headed for their boats. We know them as Peter and Andrew. And if this sleepy pair thought, another day fishing, little did they know how the events of that particular day were going to forever change the direction of their lives. They had no sooner thrown their net into the water when a stranger dressed in a seamless Galilean robe walked by. He saw the two brothers and said, "Follow me." It was both an invitation and a command. They knew this one who had summoned them was an itinerant rabbi, one who had been visiting synagogues in Galilee, who had also stirred up considerable controversy. But when Jesus called these two, there was an immediate connection. They walked away from their nets and followed him. Later that morning, Jesus recruited another set of brothers, James and John, from the same village, in all probability acquaintances, if not friends, of Peter and Andrew. But what was it that was so compelling? The tone of his voice? His eyes, which could reflect the kindness that caused a child to respond, or flash fire that caused others to cringe? Was it his compelling personality? Or was there something else, perhaps something deep in their hearts, that made them ponder the possibility that this was the Messiah who would throw off the tyranny of Rome? Notice, if you would, that five men are involved in this drama. Jesus and two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew and James and John. In the months that followed, Jesus recruited another 8 men to be part of that executive committee, that inner circle of ordinary men following an extraordinary person. Observe, if you would, that there was not a single woman in their midst. Does that seem strange? For a few moments, focus with me on what makes you either masculine or feminine. About 6 weeks following conception, the hypothalamus gland in your brain kicks into gear and sends signals to your body which say, "Turn the testosterone loose," or "Open the faucet on estrogen." And whichever hormone it is makes you completely masculine or feminine. Scientists in the laboratory have discovered that there are basic differences between the brains of males and females. It is your brain that determines how you think, and how you think determines how you act. It's been interesting to note that at the very time feminists have been trying to wipe out sexual differences, scientists have been discovering how really different we are. Men are aggressive by nature. Women are more nurturing. They put things together. Neither is one better than the other, just different. It was God's purpose for a husband and wife to come together and become one flesh. Yet, as Zig Ziglar points out, you can't have a parade of two cars until you decide which one will lead the parade. When men follow in the footsteps of him who beckoned the four fishermen, then women will walk hand in hand with them, side by side, and they won't have to worry about the next generation. The reality is that the words of Jesus continue to echo through the corridors of time. He summons men and women to follow him. Why follow him? When you follow, you'll get to know him. When you know him, you'll love him, and when you love him, you will obey him. Think about what Jesus did and ask, have I really followed him? On this commentary, I have 4 minutes and 3 seconds to connect with you. Sometimes I simply introduce something and then hope you'll be listening at the same time tomorrow as we pick up the same theme and take the threads that we've begun to work with today and weave a little more. Join us tomorrow. Why did Jesus call men? You can download what you hear by going to our website, www.guidelines.org. Click on the date for today.